Good afternoon from the University of Southern California and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, February 5th. I'm David Hadari. Health insurer Anthem Blue Cross is notifying as many as 80 million clients whose personal information may have been stolen in a recent hack. The records hacked include client names, social security numbers, and medical ID numbers. The US Department of Health described the confusion as potentially life-threatening to Anthem's more at-risk customers. Anthem says there is no evidence that credit card information or health records were compromised. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti today went to speak to business owners and residents in South Los Angeles. Diana Lee was there and has this report.
Mayor Garcetti made his way around District 9 today with Councilman Kieran Price. Garcetti wanted to see for himself the progress of local revitalization and educational programs. He visited a youth center in the Vernon Central neighborhood to talk to students, some who used to be homeless.
Part of leading is making sure you're not stuck in City Hall. And Councilmember Price and myself both believe you have to get out on the street, actually talk to people, visit them where they are facing the challenges that they have.
The group, Coalition for Responsible Community Development, is housed in the historic YMCA building on East 28th Street. It was renovated last year to provide housing and recreational facilities to get kids off the street. Mark Wilson is executive director of the coalition.
If we can educate and employ people, we start to see crime rates go down, we start to see homeless rates go down, and we start to see the future of this community improve in a tremendous way.
Wilson says there are no longer gangs around the area since the renovation, and he expects to see other changes in the next 5 years. Diana Lee, Annenberg Radio News.
A scam artist posing as an immigration lawyer has targeted Los Angeles immigrants in the San Fernando Valley. LA City Attorney Mike Foya filed charges against 52-year-old Jesus Luna Lozano, who allegedly charged immigrants for legal advice despite not being qualified to do so. If convicted, Lozano faces up to 5.5 years in prison. In response to the impending West Coast seaport shutdown, the mayors of Los Angeles and Long Beach are urging workers and their bosses to come to a compromise. Employers proposed a best offer contract on Tuesday, which included a 3% wage rise amongst other benefits. The union has yet to respond with a counteroffer. Today marked day 5 of the steelworkers' strike against Shell Oil. Tara Campbell reports.
Thousands of workers are protesting against Shell's unfair labor practices. Steelworker union leader David Campbell believes that the Carson workers are making their voices heard.
I think the strike is going well. There's no doubt in my mind that their production is cut.
The impact has led to mediation on the local and national level.
At the national level, meantime, Shell has made a 6th NLBP offer, and I've now been instructed to reject that 6th proposal.
Multiple contracts have been rejected by the unions.
It's not about money. It's about health and safety.
Shell could not be reached for comment. There is no end in sight for the strike that encompasses 9 plants and over 3,800 workers. Tara Campbell, Annenberg Radio News.
LGBT advocates are due to demonstrate outside the Beverly Hills Hotel tonight. The Sultan of Brunei, who owns the hotel, has recently passed anti-gay laws in his home country. The Beverly Hills Hotel is hosting a high-profile Grammy pre-party. The planned guest of honour, John Legend, has refused to attend because of his support for LGBT rights. Boycotters hope more celebrities will stop supporting the Sultan's hotels. Covered California is pushing for more people to sign up as the open enrollment period comes to a close for 2015. Abby Flux reports.
The Countdown to Coverage tour kicked off today in Pasadena with Mayor Bill Bogard and Covered California Executive Director Peter Lee. The tour promotes insurance options to Californians who haven't enrolled in the program. In its first year, Covered California insured over 223,000 people in South LA. The region saw the largest enrollment population in the state, and they're trying to do it again in 2015. USC Professor of Health Policy Paul Ginsberg says Covered California is distinct from many of the other state-run programs.
It really had a competition where it took proposals from insurers and decided which ones it would allow to participate.
Ginsberg says Covered California was able to lower insurance rates and create a sense of stability. USC Professor of Health Reform Michael Cousineau says the program not only succeeded in insuring Californians, but actually performed better than predicted.
We had a pretty good re-enrollment rate, almost 90%.
Covered California reports it's already had 944,000 people across the state renew their coverage from last year. Cousineau says he isn't worried about large numbers of people leaving the program.
I think some will until, and then they may end up trying to get covered elsewhere, and then they'll find out that Covered California was a pretty good deal.
The open enrollment period ends March 31st. Abby Flaxer, ARN.
2 weeks after a nurse was shot by a patient at Martin Luther King Community Hospital, a group gathered to talk about safety for healthcare workers. Officials with OSHA, the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, collected feedback on its safety plan. Tina Gutierrez was at the meeting downtown.
Nurses and healthcare officials were not the only ones who came to express their concerns about workplace violence. Police, school administrators, hospice care workers, and even school teachers like Michael Muser voiced their ideas to improve the OSHA plan.
And this is something that's going to eventually affect every employee in the state of California. Yes, today we are dealing with healthcare workers and nurses, but we are going to broaden this language that we develop into covering every employee in the state of California.
One nurse shared that she was denied help from security when a patient tried to attack her with a piece of medical equipment. She said knives and guns aren't the only things in hospitals that can be used as weapons. Nurse Elizabeth Hawkins knows this firsthand, having encountered violence on the job herself.
I've been a nurse for 31 years, and in the last 5 years, violence in the workplace has dramatically increased. I was punched in the head, had my neck slammed up against a concrete wall, and suffered a concussion.
This violence prevention plan for healthcare workers is just the first of its kind across the country and will be in place by July 1st, 2016.
That story was by Tina Gutierrez. After a series of construction setbacks, downtown Los Angeles will soon welcome a new art museum. Iris Chen has more on the story.
Officials for the new Broad Museum in downtown announced today that it will open its doors to the public on September 20th. The museum will be free to visitors. On display will be the collections of philanthropist Eli Broad, which includes the works of Andy Warhol, Jasper Johns, Ed Ruscha, and more. The Broad will offer a sneak preview event on February 15th to allow an early look inside the museum. The cost for the event is $10. Iris Chen, Annenberg Radio News.
The week-and-a-half-long Pan-African Film Festival begins today in Los Angeles. This will be the 22nd year of the event. Jacob Kramer has more on the story.
The Film Festival is a nonprofit organization that showcases art and film. In this, they hope to reinforce positive images and destroy negative stereotypes about the African American community. Many have called this event the largest Black film festival in the United States, attracting anywhere from 30,000 to 75,000 patrons and featuring over 179 films from 46 countries. Jacob Kramer, Annenberg Radio News.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Rania and Iftos with today's root source.
It's perhaps the most hated word in the English language, moist.
I mean, it's kind of a weird word, I'll be honest with you.
I think it's gross and should never be used in any conversation ever.
Have you seen that meme where it's like this old lady and it's like her looking into the camera all creepily and she's like, that makes me moist. And I'm like, ah!
As much as we cringe and gag when even thinking about that word, moist has been around since the 14th century. It's derived from the old French word moist, which means damp, soaked, or wet. It also comes from the Latin word mucidus, which means slimy, moldy, or musty. Why do we hate it so much? No one knows.
It makes me kind of uncomfortable sometimes.
But I really don't understand why people are so grossed out by it. Like, it's just moist.
Whether or not we understand its discomfort, the origin of moist is just as gross as the word itself.
Wild Up is breaking the boundaries of what defines classical music. They're an orchestra with a garage band mentality. Heather Heiss talked to Chris Rowntree, the conductor and creative mind behind the ensemble.
So Wild Up came out of a bunch of questions, a group of friends getting together and asking questions about what we wanted orchestra to feel like. And we're not really an orchestra, But the big friend group that is Wild Up now came out of those questions, like, who would like to do this type of work, which is work that has no boundary in terms of what etiquette looks like at a concert, work where all types of music are presented next to one another, which is offensive in all directions, actually. I think that classical music people are so entrenched about what classical music is. And then new music folk, they really don't like doing things like if you do a cover of Andrew Bird, they think that that's not so artful. So I wasn't realizing that I was asking people to like offend their friends in all directions. But what happened is that like if you throw that really wide net and you make everything valid, then the palette of who is interested in what you're making, just it opens the door wide open to that.
What are you programming for Wild Up? Like what's the music on the table that you just want to shout out and share with everyone?
We just did a US premiere of a piece by Kate Moore called Clepsydra. And the Clepsydra is like a water clock. So in this piece, there's a water sculpture that has all these different tempi and we have to build this thing. And there's some really, really beautiful sounds. And there's this one sound where two of the brass players lift up these bicycle wheels that are prepared with all these paper clips and turn them, and the falling paper clips make this incredible sound. We did it almost in the dark as well. Which just feels like time is being pulled. Feels like you've entered a texture and then you're in it for the entire duration of the piece. We did a piece of Ted Hearn's called Law of Mosaics, which the recording just came out. And all of the movements cut up older music and kind of tear them apart. Cuts from Mahler that are taken apart, this kind of big Hollywood music that interjects for a second. The complexity that Ted has, jumping from style to style to style and doing them all well. And when you look at the score, it's like thing of immense beauty.
What was the first score that totally intimidated you and you mastered it?
Wow, good question. Well, I mean, when you start conducting every score is like that. Like you're marking phrases in Mozart going like, no, like does the phrase begin on the first bar or the second bar? This is crazy. Is it possible? Like I remember I'm just doing Mozart 40 again. And the first time I did Symphony number 40, you get to the last movement. And I was like, what is harmony? What is this? There's a lot of accidentals here. There are 11 pitches here. This is a 12-tone row. This is a 12-tone row. And I was like screaming, I was like at a coffee shop, thinking like this is profound. The profundity of these bars. Even in classical music, there's so much to find there. Our brains don't hear that anymore, I don't think, because we're so used to, we're just like, oh, this is classical music. We hear it as classical music. But if one could actually communicate the profundity of that gesture of putting a 12-tone row at the beginning of a development.
What interested you in conducting to begin with?
Conducting is the way you teach in music. All the great conductors have been teachers, actually. And it's a tricky thing when you're young because you can't be a teacher. You have to just be cool. It's this weird line where you have to zone in with them in a way that is the way that they want to experience it. Like conducting is all psychological. It's like people say that I'm clear. They say, wow, you're so clear. Thanks. I know exactly where I am. I don't think it's about being clear. I think it's that people start to feel like loved. And so when you look at somebody and give them a gesture like, I love you, there's something about that, that the comfort level goes way up and the level of joy that they can have while just being able to do their individual job, which is incredibly difficult. It makes that job easier.
Candidates for president and vice president of the USC undergraduate student government will face off this evening in USG's annual debate. The debate will be moderated by the director of USC's Unruh Institute of Politics, Dan Schnoor. ATVN will have a recap of the debate later tonight on atvn.org. That's it for today. We've had help from Kate Guarino. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Rebecca Gibeon is the newscast producer. And the executive producers are Andy Vassoyan and Logan Healy. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm David Hadari.